For 8 years, Airbnb has stricter residency guidelines than our country. The Kaint Deli Show starts now.
Every morning in SEAL training, my instructors, who at the time were all Vietnam veterans, would show up in my barracks room, and the first thing they'd do was inspect my bed. If you did it right, the corners would be square, the covers would be pulled tight, the pillow centered just under the headboard, and the extra blanket folded neatly at the foot of the rack. It was a simple task, mundane at best, but every morning we were required to make our bed to perfection. It seemed a little ridiculous at the time, particularly in light of the fact that we were aspiring to be real warriors, tough, battle-hardened SEALs. But the wisdom of this simple act has been proven to me many times over. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made. That you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. So if you want to change the world, start off by making your bed.
Hi there. Welcome back to the Kaint Deli Show. Last hour on a Monday. So glad to have you. Thank you to Dr. Pesta, Dr. Duke, for coming on the show. You can catch his show, and he does. He has a great show, and no one else is doing a show like him as far as talking as much as he does about what's going on with our youth and indoctrination and in the school system. It's pretty amazing, and he goes all the way to graduate studies. Hi there, Uncle Milty.
Hi.
And that was a great graduation speech. I just wanted to mention this for just a minute, because Uncle Milty and I were talking about this earlier before the big show started, and that is that there was a graduation student at a private religious school in my state, and the person, the valedictorian, who actually interned for Mitt Romney, by the way, actually came out of the closet during his speech. And in my interpretation, hijacked the speech for his own purposes, his own gratification in coming out and talking about who he sleeps with in his graduation speech, or who his preferred choice is.
Yeah.
And this is really my point. A lot of people said that was courageous, and they said, wow, it's amazing. He was so strong and courageous for taking that opportunity. It wasn't an opportunity. It was a hijacking, and it was a hijacking of an event, just like Hollywood does with the Oscars, to use for their own political agenda. This was his own agenda in utilizing this speech, and the school approved it, so it's on them too, in utilizing a valedictorian speech that's supposed to be talking about the kid's future into a personal diatribe on the LGBT community and his coming out and how important that was. It had nothing to do with his graduation. Who he sleeps with and who he shares his bed with has nothing to do with his job in the future, with where he goes from now in the future. And it had nothing to do with the students sitting there listening to this, because most are not gay. And because even if they were, it had no place in a graduation speech. Yet I feel like as all of you sit through graduation speeches coming up, that you will be probably subject to a lot of this kind of stuff. You'll either have a transgender who uses that moment to identify as a male or a female and wants that moment to be all about them and coming out and telling the world this by utilizing and hijacking a speech that's designated for a certain purpose under a certain set of circumstances. And I think it's rude, and I think it's uncalled for, and it has nothing to do with what he was coming out with as being LGBT. It had everything to do with utilizing a moment that's supposed to be about graduation for his own benefit and gain.
Yeah, he never said how it helped him get through college, how it helped him be successful, how none of that was said. It was just, I'm gay.
Yeah, and it was his coming out, because he hadn't vocally talked about this. Only a few people in his life knew.
Well, so he thinks.
Yeah, so he thinks. But but that's the problem in America. See, somebody listening to this, what their takeaway might be, oh, what is she against gay people? Because that was his moment. It was courageous. It wasn't courageous. That wasn't courageous. It was just plain rude.
Yeah.
And the other thing is we all have to sit there and be subjected to these kinds of moments being hijacked, just like with the Oscars. There's a reason nobody does the Oscars anymore. Nobody watches it anymore. And their numbers have plummeted. And it's because nobody wants to see it hijacked for personal political gain. They want to see the moment for what it is. You like movies, I like movies, and so therefore you want to see them say thank you, hopefully thank you to, you know, their families or God or whatever, but get off the stage. You don't want to hear them go on and on and on. And so as these moments are being used for some reason, if it's for LGBT purposes or transgender purposes, then it's okay to be rude? It's okay to hijack? Since when? Since when is this so selfish that it's only about you? What if I got up and said, you know, I slept with five people out there and I'd like them all to stand up. Would that be appropriate in a graduation speech? Or I have a foot fetish. I would like to discuss it during my graduation speech because I'm so courageous. I want to just bring that out for all of you to know. Or I don't know, just pick a problem or pick an area of your life that's usually personal that has no place in a speech like that. Would it be okay for that too? No. You'd be appalled. It's okay in these instances?
He said when people started clapping, it was a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. To have a group that I had thought for so long would hate me or ostracize me actually celebrate and accept me. It was awesome.
There's so many problems with that statement.
Yes.
Number one, the guy has probably gone through his whole life and he's probably had a lot of friends and he's probably had a lot of support, even though they probably even suspected he was gay.
Of course.
So people have already shown him that. And it's all in his head that everybody would be mad. That's all in his head.
Yep.
And so he used this moment. He used it and the school approved it for some strange, baffling reason. They approved it and they shouldn't have, because it really should have been a lesson in it isn't about you and how you feel and what's in your head and your perspective. This is about these students. When that admiral gave that speech in that graduation ceremony for the SEALs, you know what was great about that? He was talking about what makes a future great. The little things, the little things that you can do. Now that's an important speech, but getting up there to I don't know, somehow give credit to yourself and involve who you sleep with in your graduation speech or who your preferred sex is to sleep with. Well, I'm sorry. That's just plain rude. And I can't even believe that people weren't appalled by that, not because of the gay thing, but because of how he utilized it.
Some of the quotes are really strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, I am not broken. I am loved and important to the plan of our great creator. Each of us are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well,
each of us are important to our creator.
But not because you're gay.
Well, I mean, that's your preference on who you sleep with. Again, we have turned this into a political movement lifestyle bigger than life, who deserve more rights than everyone else. And they say they're constantly, constantly, constantly discriminated against, which is in, I think, sometimes in their own heads.
Yep.
Because I see people bending over backwards. I'm as nice as can be to everybody. It doesn't matter if I sense somebody's gay. I'm still going to be as nice to them as I would anyone else. And that's most people in America.
Right.
So this whole load of crapola that everyone hates him, and that because he did a speech where he said he was gay, now everyone loves him, and that now he was impressed that everybody showed love. Everybody was showing that already. This is so manipulated, and I just had to call it out because we're seeing it more and more and more, and we're seeing it in Hollywood, and now it's made its way into all of these events of our life. And I'm sick and tired of seeing it, to tell you the truth. I'm tired of it. And I think people shouldn't attend graduation. If this is where the speeches go, and this has got to be somebody's moment, and they hijack that moment for themselves, then I think people shouldn't attend. Because now we've turned it into, you know, it's the political agenda show. That's what it is. That's why he said it. It was more about his political agenda and putting that forward using his sexuality. Isn't sex private? Is that supposed to be a part of everybody's speeches?
They don't look at this as sexuality. They look at it as something more. He said, I hope that people know that we are here.
Everybody knows you're here. you've made it perfectly clear because you're politicizing it in parades and, and everything. We get it in our face 24/7. We know you're here. You haven't just arrived. What in the world?
Well, and he continued, and he said, and we're not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, nobody, who asked you
to? Nobody did. See, everything in that speech, it was like a huge fallacy.
Right.
And we're all supposed to go, oh, yeah, yeah, you poor you. You're victimized. No, you're not. You're not victimized. If anything, you're given more rights than everyone else through all the discrimination laws. So there you go. I just had to say it because I just get real tired of this narrative, this fallacy, this lie, and that we're all supposed to just, because somebody's gay, oh my gosh, don't hurt their feelings and don't call it out. What in the world is wrong with us?
Everyone he knew in his life that suspected he was homosexual, let it go.
Yeah, because we're not focused on it. He's focused.
He made the focus on it.
Yeah. And so, again, with the Avengers movies, she came out, Brie Larson, and said, we need more LGBT faster. We need more LGBT. Why does somebody's sexual appetite matter for a superhero? Please, somebody tell me this. I am so confused as to why it matters.
I'm going
to
work on getting a superhero to interview just for that question.
Please. I want to know if it affects their superpowers.
They're fictional characters, for crying
out loud.
Is
being gay, does that affect your superpowers or transgender? Come on. This is the stupidest thing I've read in a long time. And she was out there because of the success of these movies. She was out there touting this as, oh, this is our moment. It isn't your moment to hijack. It's a movie based on comic strips, based on superpowers that are fake. This isn't the time for LGBT to make it their moment. What is their problem? I don't get it. Is it just me? Probably. I don't know.
You know, and they're so, the progressives are so into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And here's an interesting little fact about the movie.
What's that?
The new Audi Electron car,
yes,
is in the movie as,
uh-huh,
a product placement.
Right.
They gave it a gasoline engine sound.
Wow. Gee, why? You got to be kidding.
No, they gave the car a gasoline engine sound in the movie.
Yeah.
I guess they figured people wouldn't like it if you couldn't hear it.
Oh, are we just, is this just so comical? Is the hypocrisy comical to you? Is this kind of stuff sad to you? 888-673-1450. You can call up if you want. 888-673-1450. You can call live anywhere in the world. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show is what you're listening to. Uncle Milty and I are here and taking your calls, 888-673-1450, so you can weigh in on the topics we're covering this hour. And boy, we have a lot to cover. In fact, we'll take a caller. Why not? We were just talking about hijacking speeches for your own personal revelations or gain, and I don't know when that became appropriate, but it sure is becoming popular. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
This is got me just so, not upset, just annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the world is just psychiatrists, and they're telling us their problems to make them feel better. I've got a couple of nephews that are gay. One came out before this kid was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and he was so just, unfortunately, I wasn't there. I would love to have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so just, I just hope you love me. And my brother, being a crass guy that he is, said something, and he got up and stormed out. My mom said he went and got him and said, hey, we've known you've been gay for years. Go back in and sit down.
Mm.
And he did.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a secret. Now, you said that the church whoever's in charge, mm-hmm. not the church per se,
mm-hmm.
free read his speech and okayed it.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, not the church, the school. It was the school. The school approved the speech.
The school.
Yeah.
So the school free read mm-hmm. that he said he's going to come out that he was gay and they
used the speech.
Said it was okay.
To use the speech to do that. So I'm not quite sure why they made that decision, but him coming out in your family to your family is one thing. Him hijacking a speech that has nothing to do with graduation. What I mean?
I agree to a point, but that he couldn't have hijacked it if they agreed to it.
Yeah. I mean, they did. Well, they agreed to his hijacking, I should have said. They agreed.
They agreed to let him do it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it, I think, because their church is trying to make mm-hmm. everybody see that, hey, we don't hate homosexuals.
And we don't. That's the problem is I don't. Like, it's just I don't want this used like this. So, yeah.
I'm going to bring up Jesus. Jesus said he hates the sin but loved the sinner. That's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're supposed to hate the sin, love the sinner.
And we do.
I couldn't give one whit if you're gay.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't need to see it. Like I don't kiss my wife in public. I don't, maul her at a stoplight.
You don't?
Every chance I get. No, I know it's weird.
I know. Right? Yeah, you should, boy.
Maybe that's what you do with your feet or something.
Yeah, I mean, there's a foot fetish, right? I mean, people have all kinds of fetishes, and I don't actually have a foot fetish, but I was throwing that out there because is everything appropriate now in a speech if it's about yourself and you want the world to know and that's your moment behind a microphone? It's very strange to me.
My other nephew went to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
He came out. Everybody was so surprised. But he married a gal
mm-hmm.
who looks
right.
more manly than he does in the temple. They're living, I guess, happily ever after. And he was telling, always on Facebook, oh, this and that. Oh, well, I am gay and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, I don't give a rip. I don't care.
Thanks.
Who cares?
Thanks for your call. I really appreciate it.
Identifying like this.
Yeah, I really appreciate your call. Thank you for that. I think he's probably voicing a lot of frustration that people are feeling because we're getting it crammed down our throats all the time. And you're not allowed to say anything because if you do, then you're some type of LGBT. I don't know. You fear them, you loathe them. And there's nothing in between. It's not like you're just, you don't care. It's that you loathe them and that you're mean in some way if you say anything. So.
And
it's
that's just
extreme.
Not the case.
It isn't because I could care less if you're gay, but that's your life. But please stop cramming it down our throats and stop hijacking moments that are for something else.
You know, the scriptures do not say mm-hmm. that homosexuality is a sin. What the scriptures say is a man lying with a man the mm-hmm. way he would with a woman mm-hmm. is a sin.
Mm-hmm. So acting on it.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah, I know.
If you're attracted, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But then to practice it is another.
Right.
It's the same with lots of sins in our lives.
Yeah. And here again, this isn't, when we take a forum like that, and I don't care about, like I said, whether it's Hollywood or with politics, taking a moment that's meant for something else and hijacking into your own personal mantra in your own coming out party on what you're doing in behind closed doors, that's never appropriate. It's rude, actually. And I think it's rude to many people. And I think we're going to feel even more frustration as this keeps happening. And I can see it keep happening. In fact, as we go closer to graduations coming up for college and high schools across the nation, you're going to see more of this. Trust me. And I don't like it because it isn't appropriate. That's why. Not because I have some vendetta against LGBT. I absolutely don't. So moving on, we'll talk about some other things too. I wanted to talk just a little bit about United. United admitted they had cameras in their seats. And there were a lot of people that were saying, oh, fake news. Well, actually, it's not fake. They admitted it. But
mm-hmm.
people love to say fake news when they just don't like a topic now. It's kind of like the new verbatim, it's like, fake. Mm-hmm. No, it's not fake. It's just you don't like it. Or you just think people need to not be concerned with it. So they actually came out and said that they put these cameras in the seats not to use them. That's why they went to all that expense, not to actually use them, but just to have them. Because that makes sense. Kind of like what our government does with our Fourth Amendment. You know, we just have NSA spying, but we're not using it against you. Yeah, right.
They were just a standard feature.
We just paid to have them in, but it's no big deal. Look the other way. And there were two things on airlines, that and which I found kind of disturbing because other people were diminishing that into this sort of, well, what? People are just picking their nose. Nothing's going on. They're just on their phones. Well, it does matter when you're not told. When you're not told. So I don't like not being told that I'm being filmed on United. There's particular airplanes, they say, that are being used for that, some sort of Airbus. But I just felt like they should have let people know, not been found out. Another disturbing one was a video I saw, and it was a doctor going on board before they went up in the sky. And the doctor was giving this exam. Now, I just want you to let you know, everybody on the airplane is sitting there, and he is dressed in a hazmat suit from top to bottom, shield, mask, I mean, gloves. I mean, every part of him, every inch of him is covered. He comes waltzing on the plane while everybody else is just sitting there watching him. And he's conducting an examination of a child and a father on the plane. And I suppose from what I saw, that this was for measles. And so they wanted to clear them before they went up in the air. They got a call, and of course they were sitting on this airplane. And the problem, I was laughing so hard because, number one, doctors, and hat tip to Kirsty on this. So the doctors are vaxxed against measles, right? All of them are. Anybody in the healthcare field, they're forced to. They don't even get a say anymore, even if they don't want to be. And so he's completely vaccinated, yet wearing a top to bottom hazmat suit. I'm surprised he didn't come in as the kid in the bubble. I'm surprised that he didn't go to more lengths to protect himself from, oh my gosh, measles. But we only have 704 cases now across the country. It's not even at 1,000, and we're talking 330 million people. And they are treating this like the epidemic of our time, that you are going to get Ebola and die. In fact, they went through all of the things that you might get I'm talking in the rarest circumstances, encephalitis and all these things, in the rarest circumstances. And I mean, you have more chances of taking an over-the-counter drug and getting what they say on the bottle as your, as you know, diarrhea than you do with this, getting encephalitis. But there again, they're out there with this information. They are truly going full bore with this. And was the doctor decided that this person didn't have this and walked off the plane in his hazmat suit? The drama of the incident speaks volumes, does it not? Be very afraid, people. The doctors have to come into a hazmat suit on the plane, and we're not even going to go up in the air if this is the case. If his vaccination worked, why was he in a hazmat suit, number one? So I just, because measles, as explained to us, remember when we had a guest on the show, there's 19 strains of it. The vaccination is only against one strain. If you do it naturally and you get measles, then what happens is you are able to combat all of those 19 strains. Yep. They don't want to tell you this. And so you're actually better off going through the whole process and getting measles for the 10-day cold that you're going to have. It isn't the worst thing in the world. And then you'll be naturally vaxxed against all other forms of measles.
And they lie.
Measles, shock and awe.
They say, okay, yeah, measles was eliminated in the U.S., but unvaccinated travelers have brought it back to places where it is now spread.
Uh-huh.
Well, 40% of the cases are people that were vaccinated.
Yes, and vaccine reactions that they don't tell you about, uh-huh, because a reaction to the vaccine gives you the same symptoms, and they can't find out until they do a particular test, and so they're not disclosing that.
And if unvaccinated travelers so bother them so much, why are they screaming for open borders?
Exactly. The hypocrisy. Oh, the hypocrisy. Yes, it's kind of the same thing about why they scream climate change, but they're not worried about nuclear power. Why is that? I don't know. It's the same thing. By the way, we should do a segment, and I mentioned this earlier. We should do a segment called New York, What is Your Problem? New York, I shake my head every day in the headlines. For climate change, they have decided, or they're trying to pass a law against what, hot dogs?
Yep. Good old de Blasio.
Just sit on that for a moment, if you will, because just think about the ludicrous nature by which this comes to us. Hot dogs and climate change. Man, they're running out of stuff. A second grader could sell this idea. A second grader has more knowledge on could actually school these people on their junk science towards human-caused climate change, hot dog-causing climate change. It's absolutely ridiculous, but we have to endure this ridiculous conversation. And that's what's getting so, I think that's what's lending to the frustration level in America. As we know, we're being sold a box of rocks every 5 seconds.
Well, Newsweek magazine had an article that actually answered this.
Mm-hmm.
The headline, the title of the article was, New York City's mayor definitely didn't just ban hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He banned all processed meats.
For climate change. Because that makes sense.
That made it better.
New York, what is your problem? Oh, if we could just take California, New York, and just dump them. I just, it's so frustrating. It's so, because the most ludicrous stuff comes out of these two states. That and Florida. It's kind of like a three-way tie. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think so. That's what my frustration level lands on these narratives, the hypocritical nature of these narratives, the picking and choosing of narratives. Just like I said with the speech, if I would have outed personal information in a graduation speech, people would have looked at me sideways. You say you're LGBT and everybody calls you courageous. I don't get it.
Yep.
How about personal issues just stay personal? I don't know. You know, maybe I'm old school. And then on this too. It's ridiculous. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. I got Uncle Melty with me. You can go to katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com, and you can actually email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. See, so easy to find. And the Kate Daly Show on Facebook and on Twitter, it is Kate on the Blaze or the Kate Daly Show. You can find me there. And happy to have you, actually, and happy to have you listening. 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. I was just mentioning the speech given by, we're going to be attending a lot of graduation speeches, right, as we come up on graduation time for college and high school, and the person used it to hijack his coming out party and used the valedictorian speech, which is supposed to be directed at students for the purpose of moving forward after graduation, to his own personal agenda and his own personal information. And I just wanted to also say that I didn't get a chance to say about that is that, you know what? A lot of speeches have been stopped. A lot of speeches have been stopped because somebody tried to talk about God. Somebody tried to, you know, talk about all of these things. I don't want speeches like this hijacked for a lot of reasons, but it's interesting how that speech was stopped. But if you're coming out, those speeches aren't stopped. Do you see what I mean? The ridiculous nature of how they're picking and choosing.
Absolutely.
When they put their foot down and say, you can't say this in a speech.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't want to see it hijacked for any reason, on principle that it's not about you personally or a moment for you to go glaringly put out there what's personal in your own life for a graduation speech, unless the story you're telling has to do with graduation. But so that's just the principle of it. But yeah, there have been a lot of kids that have tried to, you know, use that moment.
Sure.
That they've been given for this type of stuff. So this wasn't his moment. Got to be, you know, the whole speech was showcased, but I just wanted to mention that anyway. And the hypocrisy of it, I don't like that either. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Over the weekend, we had the Poway shooting. That was strange. That was, there was a long letter. A long letter put out by him, an open letter. And, you know, I have to say this because this is one thing I noticed about the letter. The letter cited a lot of scripture. The letter cited him as a Christian and yada, yada, yada. And there was a, to me, I don't know, we'll have to look more into this, but there is definitely... And what his actions were or weren't, I haven't looked into it enough to even have an opinion on this yet. But I will say that I'm noticing the constant demonization of Christianity. And that whole letter was included with all these scriptures. And if it was written for him, was it put out to demonize? If it was written by him, are a lot of people taking this as, oh, so those Christians can get totally unbent and go after people and shoot people using Christianity? I don't know why that struck me so much in his letter.
The other thing that struck me was it's almost like somebody saying, see, it's not just Muslims that are attacking Jews.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the Christians,
religions,
are too.
Yeah. So it struck me, and so one dead, I think, three injured, and it happened right around the corner from one of my friend's homes. I mean, literally around the corner, and disturbing to say the least. But
but it could have been much worse.
Mm-hmm.
There was a border, border patrol
agent in there,
in the synagogue,
and shot at him, shot his truck by accident. You know, didn't get him, but still, you know, you don't see a lot of articles on that.
No,
there's never articles on the guy who was in there that had the gun that helped, Yeah, and that's unfortunate because Americans aren't getting that narrative in their news.
No. I know a doctor in New York who's Jewish, and he belongs to a group of men who practice defending their synagogue, and they're all armed every Sabbath.
Wow.
In their synagogue.
Yeah.
And have been. I mean, I met him years ago.
Right.
So it's not something new either.
Wow. Very interesting. 888-673-1450. Also wanted to mention a newer story about DOD now will conduct federal government background checks, not the FBI anymore. Why do you think that move came?
The Department of Defense, huh?
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting.
That's real interesting.
Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
I think it's because they have... less controls over them.
Interesting.
FBI
has. Okay, interesting. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Milty.
Hi.
How big are the Vatican walls?
I have no idea. I've never been there.
We've heard about them, though.
I heard they were 200 feet tall.
Oh, they have to be taller than that.
Maybe so.
The Pope just gave $500,000 to our illegal flood to help them along.
I read that the other day, too.
They were given assistance.
I think he gave it as a humanitarian aid, and it's been made to look like he's helping them flood the United States. But I'm not thrilled with that either. I don't think he should have. I think Pope Francis sticks his nose into politics way too much.
Yes, I agree.
He's not representing the Lord very well.
No.
Thank you. There are many people that believe that.
Yeah,
thanks, caller. I really appreciate it. He's voicing a sentiment. I think I would like to see religious organizations not get very political. I know that I've had emails where people asked, you know, wanted me to say that they should be more political. I don't think so. When churches do things, I want them to do them, you know, based on you know, what their church observes and thinks and does. But the political nature of things, I'm hoping that doesn't. I don't know. I don't like the two to collide very much. There are people that want them to be more vocal. Well, in a day and era where we have abortion after the baby's born, where that has gone through in New York, and we have. I know it's sick. and we have all of these things going on. We all understand culturally where we're at right now. I can understand why. I can understand why somebody would say churches need to be very defining in their roles and in their perceived values as far as how they feel about all of these things. I do think they should be calling out abortion. I do think all religions should be, especially Christian religions, should be denouncing those things a little bit more than they do. But on the same token, I don't want to see the more political. I don't know. When I see a lot more political involvement, I think it repels a lot of people too, don't you?
Yes.
I don't know. It's really hard line right now because our nation is kind of going in a weird, strange direction. And what do you think? 888-673-1450. Should they be more vocal? I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough one because it's tough for people because that actually can be a reason people leave a religion is because they were vocal about a particular issue and they didn't agree with it politically.
No, I actually heard somebody just the other day say something along those lines.
Yeah.
That they were thinking about leaving the church
Right.
To me, it had nothing to do with the Pope, but it was a very inconsequential thing.
Mm-hmm. That happens a lot.
And I hear other people, you often hear them say, I'm going to quit giving money to the church.
Vote with my dollars.
Well, that's not what tithing is about. It's not voting with your dollars.
Yeah, it's actually about increasing your own, your own blessings.
Yeah.
Too. And so that's always been a really hard topic for me because I'm very mixed on that topic. I know you probably all have some mixed topics too.
Sure.
That's really tough because on one hand I can see it. On the other hand, I'm cautionary at the least, because I know how people can react to stuff. And are we a little too reactive, do you think? Sometimes I think we'll use, and I just like some of these other people we've been talking about in the show, they'll use anything as a scapegoat or an excuse to not have to deal with anything anymore. And so that's their escape route, right? Escape clause.
I think one of the major problems we have today is that too many people really just don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to deal with anything.
Yeah. And so it's easier to go leave everything than be
just
invested. People's frustration is leading to that too. They're just frustrated, so they feel like they'll feel better if they just don't engage anymore and don't worry anymore and don't even think about it anymore. And actually, we need to be invested more than ever into the change because it doesn't matter truly, I think, on so many levels who really is in some of these leadership positions and president and so forth. It can matter a little bit on certain issues, but for the most part, it's who we are. And for somebody to leave something so quickly and easily, then to me, I say, well, you're not very steeped in principle, you know, and where are our principles as a nation personally? Mm-hmm. Do you remember when I played the clip of Mike Pompeo saying, we lie, we cheat, we steal, we're the CIA, and everybody laughing, laughing and applauding. And I thought, who are these people in the audience? I mean, would you not be appalled at that statement? And because he was smiling when he said it, I'm sorry, but the content of that statement, I mean, that's kind of horrific. But where's our principles as a nation? Who are we?
You know, Dr. Pesta said something today about taking a class, a freshman class, and giving his spiel and having students come up afterwards amazed and having in one hour, change their minds about things.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why we have to speak out. Because if you reach one person a day, it's
true.
Going to, and then they reach one person.
Just
and they
like
reach,
Unplanned is doing for abortion.
Yes.
A lot of people come up to me, and we'll talk about the border, and they're concerned that their Christian values say that we need to love all people, and that on the other hand, we want to build a wall. And my only thought is this, and I'm glad that we talked about this with Pesta, because there's lots of questions about our racist nation and how we hate people. Our nation was built on the melting pot idea, and people come here because they still feel welcome. That's why they're not going to Saudi Arabia, who, by the way, can't wait to behead more people for being gay or whatever the case may be. Here you can be who you are. Apparently, you can even get more rights if you're gay or transgender. And then we have our own set of problems in that way. But we're still, the freest nation that I know of as far as why people are coming here. We've always provided a vetting process. We could could even make that shorter process, and I would be okay with that. I would be okay if we made it a shorter process, other than what it is. I think it's pretty lengthy. As long as they respect our nation and our laws and go through that vetting process, it's never that we haven't provided that. So where do people get the idea that abusing the law and storming the gate by being paid by Soros is okay? That doesn't promote any humanity in my eyes. That's just a disrespect for America.
When I was talking with my priest the other day about mm-hmm. this issue, are we being unchristian-like to be mm-hmm. upset about these border crossings? He said, Romans 13, mm-hmm. obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow.
Ooh. Oh. Well, you know, I there's nothing wrong with the way we do this here, except maybe for the system being a little too hard to get in, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's the biggest complaint. It takes, you know, over a decade. But there again, it's not that we're not providing that. But for some reason, we're getting the rap that we hate immigrants and that we're a racist nation.
No.
Neither one of those things is true. Neither one of them.
No.
We had there was a class of blacks at a mostly white college that wanted their own graduation. Are they asking for segregation for themselves? Yeah, they're asking for it. We're not promoting racism. I'm not promoting racism. You're not. All I ever see is that narrative alive and well in the media, but I don't see it in real life. I really don't. And so I just wanted to say that because when you understand that I want people coming into this country as well that have a healthy respect for America and for our laws and that are willing to come through the right way, that speaks a lot about the quality of the person coming over. Somebody that shoves their kids out in front of somebody else and with a man with a gun and they're shoving their kids in harm's way, and that's not the quality of mama I want coming over to this country. I'm sorry. And somebody that's willing to take a paycheck to come over to storm the gate, that isn't the kind of person I want in this country. I want a good, honest immigrant that comes over that appreciates what we have and that's wanting to use capitalism, that's wanting to use this for their own dream. That's okay with me. And it should be okay. That's how we all got here, too. So we're not a racist nation. We're a melting pot that invites people here every day and has looked the other way why people have run in and stormed the gate. And I don't think that's okay. So I know. Lots to talk about today. Woo!
You're right, though.
Woohoo! Well, we'll be back tomorrow with lots more to talk about, and I hope you join us, katedallyradio.com, and you can join the conversation. You can call in live tomorrow as well. We're happy to take your calls. Email me, kate@katedallyradio.com. Be faithful, be fearless. Everybody have a great evening.